Gentlemen, for those of you, council is well aware, this is Mr. Don Boykin from Boykin International.
I have some handouts for you, gentlemen.
And lady.
And lady.
It's actually not on the agenda. Part of the budget.
This is a summary of uses, sources of funds, and then uses of funds for the... As you can see, sources of funds, tenant finishes, we have $27 a square foot for tenant finishes. Furniture budgets that you have currently in your budgets before the amendments was another $432,000. Then there's also additional rent that we had budgeted of $346,000for the period of April 1st through December 31st. That gives us a total source of funds of $1,000,004. We are currently using, through planned expenditures, through the construction, we'll be using $809,000 of that. That's made up of $605,000 of normal tenant finishes, which is below what was allocated. However, because we're requiring a generator for 24-hour operation, as well as a chiller for 24-hour operation, And then we've got a contingency in there of an additional $25,000 for the construction. That's how we come up with the $809,000. You're right, we're not going to spend $420,000 on furniture. Currently, the furniture budgets are for the city hall is $134,000. That does include, we have worked out a purchasing arrangement to purchase the existing furniture that we currently have. And move that over to the new facility, which was to a savings to the city. The police furniture and equipment is $162,000. Of that $162,000, we've already purchased somewhere around $37,000 worth of equipment through purchase orders. There'll be another $37,000 purchased within the next few days in order to make sure that it's all here on March 15th, or actually March 22nd. And then there'll be other miscellaneous pieces we'll have starting to go in the first half of the police department. Again, we have a contingency there of $20,000, giving us a total of furniture and equipment costs of $316,000. Some additional costs, which are part of the construction, but not necessarily in the above budgeted numbers. We have an AV system, security system, and some cabling goes along with that. The $90,000 that is scheduled for the AV security and cabling. Those bids are coming in for all three of those things. I can give you the breakdown as far as how that breaks down into the or adds up to the 90. But we'll be finalizing those bids. And its preliminary indications are that that $90,000 should be adequate. There are some other additional costs in order to move the city from their current headquarters to the new headquarters. We have scheduled a number of meetings over at the terraces. We have to pay for security as well as some air conditioning and other things because it's off hours. We have scheduled that based on the number of meetings that are already scheduled. There will be some temporary building services required in order to operate on our 24-hour basis until the chiller is installed. The chiller is a long lead item for manufacture and will not be finished and installed until somewhere near the end of April. So we need to allocate some money for that. There is also a IT room that we've got on the second floor which supports all the equipment. It will be starting in March. We'll start the installation. That is a 24-hour operation that we'll need on that to keep that system cool. And this is a temporary for that until we have all the building services up while we're under construction. That adds up to another $36,000, which means we'll use roughly about $1,003,000 out of the $1,040,000 of the source of funds, leaving approximately $140,000 for additional uses by the city. I put down at the bottom of the summary the schedule. I need to make sure that the council is clear on how we're moving in. We are anticipating that we will move in the police force on March 22nd. It is anticipated we'll have our final CO somewhere around the Friday before that, and we'll move them in on the 22nd. The second floor of City Hall will move in somewhere between April 15th and April 20th. And as you may recall, the first half, or one half of the first floor, is occupied by a current tenant. That tenant is being relocated and will not be vacating their space until the first week of April. So we'll have some additional time while we move in and that, while we get that construction completed. And that construction will take from about April 1st to the midpoint to late May to get them completed. And that portion of the first floor is going to be used for the council chambers as well as the other half of the police force. The furniture that we were talking about a little bit earlier, as you can see, is less than that. That also includes equipment. There's lots of technical equipment we're using. You also mentioned something about the fire suppression system. Please keep in mind that one half that cost is for the city records, which is roughly $13,000. The other half is for the IT room. So that's something we can't move off-site.
Well,
we're talking about a $13,000 item moving off-site. But I just want to give you those facts so that you'll be aware of that. As far as battery backups and the like, we've looked at all different options of those. We'll be glad to keep looking at options, but we're getting down to a point where we've got to make decisions, and we'll be making those decisions with those contractors this week as we tie down all these pieces of equipment, because there are long lead items for where they're placed on the site and so forth, and then connections, transfer switches, and all the other connectivity that we have between the generator as well as the chiller and so forth. Any questions?
Dan, you said the... You said the suppression system, one half is for the IT room?
Yes.
And the other half is for the records room.
Yes, and the IT room is about half the size of the records room, and unfortunately, a lot of that has to do with just the gear to make it work. It has nothing to do with the size of the space. The canisters that they have on, you know, we put the gas in, that's the only really difference. And by the way, I brought for the council photographs. I just got one copy of the photographs of what the current site looks as of this afternoon. You see it's drywall is just starting to go up. The walls are starting to go up.
Does anybody have any questions, Mr. Boyd?
Two questions. One is, have we looked at moving the IT stuff off-site? Today, more and more companies are choosing to use professionally run data centers where they can co-locate their equipment with other equipment that has similar types of requirements for halon and gas suppression and the backup powers and the generators, and it's a less expensive alternative. And admittedly, IT guys like to be able to go over and hit the switch. I get the fact that IT guys get really nervous if they have to pick up the phone and call somebody at a data center to go punch the power button, but it's much less expensive to use somebody else's data center or colo to put equipment in than it is to build all this stuff just for what amounts to one rack of gear. It's you know, we're a small office. It seems hard to justify to put all of that stuff in there when it's cheaper to put it somewhere else.
Councilman, I understand your question. And initially, those were some of my same questions.
Okay.
That I challenged our team. What I'm finding out is that that's not necessarily the best for the city. There will need to be, and I'm confident that the IT plan is currently looking at back off-site backup. But there is a lot of gear that is, you know, a lot of equipment that's necessary there. And the way they've organized it seems to be the most efficient way right now. And so we have not proceeded to figure out another way to do it off-site. I've had the same challenges with my offices in trying to do things off-site as well, since I also have multiple locations. And when we've run the numbers, it's not been a great savings, nor, in fact, it hasn't been a savings. It would have been more expensive. So we chose not to do it. And when we started talking about some of those same solutions over here, and then we started to come up with the same resistance, we just pursued it.
Well, I had only one other question. You talk about a generator for 24-hour operation and a chiller for 24-hour operation.
Yes.
It seems pretty obvious that we're going to provide our own AC during off hours,
Yes. So
that we don't use the building. The building charges a lot for off hours air conditioning.
It's roughly about $45 an
hour. Yeah, right. So that makes perfect sense to have a chiller and provide our own air conditioning. We're not planning to provide our own power off hours, right?
No.
That's the generator's just an emergency backup.
Yes, and that's
okay.
Another thing that I've also challenged the team is there are ways for us to look at that.
Okay.
The real condition is we're running a police force.
Understood.
If we were running a city hall and that was it, then I would, we go to battery backups and we do a lot of other things, I think, would probably be the best way. But our phone systems, our electronics, there are a lot of electronics that we're going to have as part of the police, and in order to make sure that we have police and full 24-hour coverage, what's been recommended to me is that we need to have a positive way for us to have power and not just go down as a police force for our citizens. And so therefore, that's why we're continuing to pursue the generator. We have gotten a good price on a reconditioned generator. We have also pared down the amount of power that we're going to be generating we're not going to put we're not going to put the chiller on the generator. If the power goes down, well, I guess we'll be a little warm or we'll be a little cool depending on the time of the year. But our computers will work and our phones will work, which are the two things we want to make sure of how we serve the citizens of Dunmore.
You have a line item on here for cabling and AC systems, etc. Have you left the beds on the cabling?
I believe the cabling was originally to come in today, but there was some discussions and it was extended 2 days. I think they're now due on Wednesday.
I asked the question. Fingerboarding is something that we don't like to have from our suppliers. And it seems to me that we should be coupling our cabling for our telecommunications equipment with the vendor that's going to be providing the actual hardware. That's
my understanding. The telecommunications cabling was, I may be wrong there, but I don't believe it's telecommunications cabling. I think it's security cabling and it's the AV cabling. So I'll need to double check and see.
Telephone cabling should be, I think, provided by.
I thought it was part of that, but I'll need to double check that.
Any other questions, Mr.
Boykin? John. A minute ago, you mentioned the no need for air conditioning in the IT room in the case of a power failure. Is that correct?
No. We have a separate Leapart unit that will be cooling the IT room.
Right.
That Leapart unit will be tied into the emergency power and the generator, so the IT room will be conditioned.
Okay. You said something a little different a second ago. I just wanted to verify. Thank you.
Okay. No, I didn't mean to mislead you.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much, Dan. Appreciate it. Okay. With that, let's move on to item L1 is complete. That is a first read. So we will be taking a good hard look at that at our next regular meeting. It will come up for a vote. And I would just contend to Warren and everything that we're going to have some lead time on that, Warren, before the next meeting so we can have a real good look at it. L2. Sharon, can I get you to read that, please?
A resolution to adopt the City of Glenwood Purchasing Policy.
Okay, do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Okay, motion's been made by Councilman Ross, seconded by Councilman Taylor. To adopt the City of Glenwood Purchasing Policy. Discussion, and why don't we start out with the finance manager who's standing up here, ready to go. John, floor is yours.
You said we will need to adopt a resolution. In the formation of this policy, we began with the Citizens Advisory Finance Committee, the citizens that participated in the initial policy recommendations. We took their recommendations, or Boykin had taken their recommendations and put them in the city's, of course, in the official city's letter. From there, staff had made their recommendations, as well as the city attorney had reviewed the entire policy. It was one of the questions was raised about the there is a procurement card procedure manual that is separate from the policy, but it does go on in detail about the review, the documentation, the audit, and those issues, the documents, procedures about the use. The other thing is that I think it was brought to our attention that both of these, the procedure and the policy, was inconsistent in who was issued a card, and we to clarify that we amended the policy so that the city, at the discretion of the city manager, that he could add, or he had, with his approval, he could add in the future the select to use the card, and so that we didn't limit it to three users initially. And so from there, I just we'll just open it for questions.
John,
in our book under credit card section D, it currently states that only the three people, the city manager, the city finance administrator, and the chief of police, will be receiving credit cards. That was in our original packet, but it got changed in the email version, and now it's back to just those three people. Which one is correct?
And I apologize for that. That we the final version should include the recommendations that you yourself made, as far as that upon the approval of those three officials, that they could determine the number of people that they wanted to use the card, and that there was no set number in the policy. We did change that, and apparently you didn't get that correction in your final in your final copy. But today there was another correction floating around, and that's probably how it did not get it.
Okay. So I believe that what's in my binder is incorrect.
Right.
And what was sent via email is the correct version, is what you're telling me.
Right. We changed it at your recommendation. We changed them to be consistent with one another. And I apologize that that did not get in the...
Credit cards are the one place where cities and companies get into a lot of trouble. And I want to make sure that we have tough procedures that we follow. You just held up the credit card procedures. Is there any reason why that is not in this policy, or are we going to be adopting that separate?
Well, generally, we ask council for approval for the policy itself, and then for the most part, Warren or the city manager and his staff oftentimes will develop detailed procedures procedures that apparently you know, that just are in addition to the policy. For the most part, we seek the council's approval for the policy itself, and then at the discretion of the city manager, he usually formulates procedures. However, if there's anything in these procedures that, you know, would recommend, certainly staff would want to make those corrections in the policy. For the most part, we don't generally seek the council's approval for procedures, but do for policies. And
okay, but it doesn't really state that the city manager or the city needs to follow those procedures. In which, I mean, there's not even a notice of that the procedures exist. Though you showed me via email and you just held up the procedures a minute ago.
I do believe that we need to put a note in the policy about the procedures manual for that you're absolutely correct. They are so general in the policies that there's not enough detail to really know. We need to put this in the policy itself to see this procurement card user's manual, and that will be a part of the policy itself. I do believe that would be necessary.
That is something that I would like to see.
Yes, sir. I fully agree with you on that.
I just add to that. I think that's probably on your page 2 here, purchasing policy, right under probably the last paragraph there under purpose. You know that you would include that to reference the city of Dunwoody's procedures letter or whatever you're going to call that, so that anybody that's reading this could see that right away. And it wouldn't have to wait till a page later down the list. Okay, that's you all can work on that as a staff. Is there any more discussion on this?
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem. I'm sorry, Adrian's got her hand up too. I had a question about the value of the items and where the breakpoints were for when you could do verbal quotes versus written quotes. And I guess the question that I've got revolves around leases. If we're looking at leasing some equipment that's, you know, one value, but the annual lease fee, where, how do you calculate if we're going to lease a $250,000 phone system that's $50,000 a year, or $40,000 a year, which value dictates what the process is, I guess?
The cost, the value, the entire value of the cost.
Okay.
Not the yearly cost?
Yes.
Okay. Where does it say that? Is it in this one?
I think it's there.
Okay.
Anybody else?
I have one more thing. It's a minor thing. On one of these pages, you use the word should. And that always sticks out at me when I'm reading these. You say that vendors who do business with the city should sign an agreement. And I'd suggest that either it's a section. It's hard to read the section. It's page 6. And it used to be. I guess it's section A4, although it's, again, with the markup, it's a little hard to tell. All vendors should sign a disclosure document, and I'd suggest that we make that a must. Yeah.
Can we make a change, or do we need to make an amendment?
I'd make an amendment.
Okay. Do you want to make that phone amendment?
Sure. I move that we change on page 6, section A, 4, last sentence, that we change all vendors should sign to all vendors shall sign.
Second.
Okay, motion made. Amendments made by Councilman Wittenstein, second by Councilman Taylor to amend, to change the word that A4, change the word should to shall. Any discussion on the amendment?
I'd comment?
Comment.
Public comment?
Public comment.
Okay, is there, we'll open up the floor to public comment. Is there anyone who wants to speak for this amendment? Anyone want to speak opposed to this amendment? Thank you. Okay, there is no public comment. Is there any further discussion on the amendment? This being no discussion, we will vote on the amendment to change the word from should to shall on page 6, section A4. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Passes 6-0. Okay, and now we're voting on the open discussion. Okay.
John made some significant changes, I think, to the thing. And I think they should also be taken in the form of an amendment to the document.
I believe we were just told that they were Scribner's errors, or what we were presented in our packet, or what was presented online and on the website was the official. I was going to, thank you for bringing this up, I was going to ask that they read us verbatim or give us a copy so that we know exactly what we're approving. Or it could be an amendment. Doesn't, I mean, that's fine too, but I agree with you, Danny, yeah, to a certain extent. We need to know what it is.
Okay. Does anybody, before we go on, let me just get a point of order here from counsel. Do we have anything that says exactly the wording?
I've got it here.
You have the wording there?
On the page number here.
It's 24.
Okay. I've got the exact wording.
Okay.
And our consultants had sent us their copy version that did not have the changes that we made. So, again, I apologize for that. On page 24D, under credit cards, it shall read this. Credit cards will be issued upon approval of the department head, procurement coordinator, finance director, and the city manager. So we had taken out where it says should only be issued upon the approval of three people.
Okay, so there is no limit then in the rewrite?
No, there's no change in the limit. We're just changing the originally it had that it shall be issued to three people. That being the finance director, city manager, and chief of, is that the page that has the
chief of police?
Yeah, the chief of police will only be issued upon approval. Yeah. We had taken out where there was going to be three people that were authorized to have the card. I believe that was the city clerk, the city manager, and the procurement coordinator or finance director. But we had taken that clause out to read that the card will only be issued upon, and we did that because there was a discrepancy in the procedure manual and the policy. And that we did believe that it was best to leave that at the discretion of the city manager in the future, that if he wanted to add another individual in the policy, he wouldn't have to amend the policy, that it would more or less be up.
John, just a point, Mark. Do you have that wording?
I've got it right, and I'm going to read it to you right now.
Okay, read the wording to us and see if this is what the council wants. And if it is, we will make an amendment to put it in here, and we'll go from there to make it all. Just read the amendment.
Okay.
Just read what you have there, please.
Yes, sir. On page 24, under D, credit cards. Credit cards will be issued upon the approval of the department head, procurement coordinator, finance director, and the city manager.
Okay.
And the next sentence also had in there the credit limit for each card should not exceed $10,000, period. All individuals assigned a credit card on behalf of the city shall be personally responsible for the use and the fraudulent use.
Okay, so there is no limit on what you just read. This thing says credit cards shall be
should only be issued to three people. But now we change that they will be issued on the approval of four people. And there is no limit to the number of people who can have a credit card, according to what you just read. Is that correct?
Right. It'll ultimately be decided by the city manager if he wanted to add another individual.
Warren, would you like to comment on that, please?
Is there anything specific about this number?
Well, just the idea, you know, we changed it to read from that you're only going to issue it to three people to change it where four people will have to approve it to issue it to, but we don't have a limit to the number of people we're issuing it to. Is that the intent?
I think there's that's the intent. I think the simpler way to do this is just to say that they'll be issued upon my approval. I think if I'm reading too much into this, is that you could run into a situation where I want somebody to have a credit card and the department head doesn't like credit cards, so it looks like all four people have to agree to issue the card, but I think it should just be at the discretion of the city manager to issue the card.
I think if you get down, my own opinion is if you get down to somebody else, maybe your department head or somebody ought to sign off before they give it to you, just to...
Yeah, I think that's procedural, and likely the way it would occur is the department head would request it and I would approve it, but I think it creates simplicity, and at the end of the day, I'm accountable for whether the purchasing policy says it or not. If a mistake is made, it's going to be my head on the chopping block.
Okay. Yeah. It seems to me that we're going to... You could give this out to a dozen people if they have a card. It just appears to me that $10,000 is a very high limit. People should be submitting expense accounts where we set that number to zero that they have outstanding, and that number is very high.
I think so, too. I'd have no objection to this, but they back down to $5,000. The only expense that I can see occurring that would generate for travel is really dealing with one that could be a considerable number. But
your ticket's going to be pre-purchased probably, and
that's a bit easier. Usually paid online with the car, but I'd have a problem with that.
I'm going to offer an amendment.
I have a... I was just going to ask a question. There's time.
Go ahead.
As far as credit cards for travel, credit cards for city business purchasing items for the city would be tax deductible, would they not be?
Yes, we purchase items.
I have a government credit card. I also have a travel government credit card. And I'm just wondering if you're using a credit card issued by the city, does it make sense to have it both for travel and for purchases that are needed by the city? How did it work in other places?
We just had one card.
You just had one?
These are a little different because we're actually issuing P cards right now, not credit cards, so we can put some additional restrictions on them. So we can restrict certain vendors, certain types of vendors, certain frequencies.
Right.
Those need to be malleable based on the times and things that are available to us. The concern I've got typically with credit cards is when you start purchasing goods, because it's more convenient to purchase them with the card than to go through the procurement process. And that's a considerable sticking point for me, partially because when we negotiate blanket agreements and get good deals on bulk for items, then you go to Office Depot and just put your credit card down and purchase it. You kind of lose all the discounts, but also from a tax standpoint, you typically don't get tax exemption if you're using your card as opposed to going through our process. So we discourage the use of them for convenience and use them only when they're necessary. Typically, travel is the largest item on that. You also get into certain items that you just run into if you're trying to place an ad on a certain website or a job ad. They only take a credit card because of the timing issue. So they should be used judiciously and infrequently.
And go ahead. I'm done.
I was wondering if we could, I haven't had a chance to read this completely because we were in meetings all day and we're out of town all weekend. So I'm uncomfortable voting on it tonight. But my question is, it bothered me this weekend when we all were in the hotel and had to pay tax. We should have been tax exempt and we could have avoided paying taxes. Is there some way that city council could have a credit card in that case, or is there a procedure that we can use so that you're not...
Yeah, you should have been given a form to take with you that would be a tax exemption to hand in at the time. What we'll do is we'll go back tomorrow now that I'm aware of it, and we'll have the tax wiped off of the bill.
Okay, we can handle that.
Yeah, we'll get a credit on it. Tax, and it's surprising because that usually most of their clients don't want to travel to some of this.
I've got to offer an amendment page 24 under section B, credit cards. Credit cards will be issued on the approval of the department head and the city manager. Credit limit for each card shall not exceed $5,000. The rest of the paragraph will remain the same. Is there a second?
Oh. Am I allowed to make a friendly amendment before they get seconded? If the second...
I'll second.
Okay.
Okay. We should vote on the motion on the amendment as presented, or you can amend the amendment. You can do that.
I'd like to amend it to be as stated, except for the fact I'd like to add that the section D also state that the policies, that the procedures, as documented in the credit card policies or in the procedures, I want some notification going back to the written procedures in which the city has. Currently, this section has no tying back to the procedures that exist.
I thought we would tie that back. I'm getting out of order. Okay, there is an amendment. There's an amendment to the amendment on the floor. Is there a second to that?
I'll second that. Just open discussion.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I was just going to just provide some wording to accomplish what I think the council was trying to accomplish. Put in a reference that the city shall maintain a credit card procedure manual, whatever the technical term is for that, the credit card user manual, and that manual will be on file with the city clerk. I think you can just say credit card use will be in accordance with the credit card user's manual. Said manual will be available for review in the city clerk's office.
Works for me. Thank you.
Sharon, did you get any of that over there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we have an amendment and a second on the floor that basically reads, Sharon, can you kind of paraphrase that for us? And the words...
I'll read it for you. The city manager shall maintain a credit card user's manual, and that manual will be on file with the city clerk and available for review.
Okay, we've got that amendment on the floor. And second, is there any public comment on that? I didn't remember it. Danny reminded me. Okay, any pro? Any against? Okay, seeing none, we'll vote on the amendment as read. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, the amendment to the amendment passes. Now we'll vote on the amendment, which says that the credit cards will be issued upon the approval of the department head and the city manager. And the credit line for each credit card shall not exceed $5,000. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Go ahead, Robert.
There's one thing that makes me a little nervous here, and that is that often you want a third person involved in any transaction that's on spending money. That keeps two people from colluding, right? That Warren and Warren's good buddy can't you know work together to game the system. And I don't think we have that problem with Warren, But as a general rule, you often have one person suggest, a second person approve, and you go to a third person for disbursement, right? I mean, you frequently have a third person involved in the loop, just so somebody besides the requester and the approver are in the loop. So I'm a little hesitant to approve that for that reason.
Okay. Aren't people required, when they have an expense on a credit card, to turn in the receipts? Showing when you purchased it.
I think the manual, we can certainly make a copy available to council to take a look at. We'll cover the aspect of, from a procedural standpoint, how you need to provide receipts that are itemized. Example, it's, sometimes people will go to a restaurant and just give you the cover one that shows the amount but not the detail behind it. I think we should also, generally require all the detail behind it to make sure that $40 dinner bill is not like 8 beers, but in fact it would be. Is my math right? It's been a while. I don't know. But to have the detail behind that,
okay.
I think that we have significant internal controls in place, and I think this would just fall in line with the general procedures on internal controls, because it may not need to go in the document, but it's certainly critical that I'm not charging my credit card, approving it, and cutting myself the check.
Right.
I agree with you on that.
Okay. And I just my comment on that is, three is better than two, but four is better than three. And, I don't know how far you go down. I definitely think you need at least two. That'd be my comment. Everything I've ever done has always been a counter-check. And I feel comfortable with that. Saying that, I'm going to tell you, anytime you talk about credit cards, it goes all on it. So I think we'll have a good check and balance, and we can go from there. Okay, any other discussion on the amendment? Okay, now we'll vote on the amendment as read. And does anybody want the amendment repeated? Okay, all those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, the ayes have it, 6-0. Now we'll vote on the original motion. It's a resolution to adopt the City of Dunwoody purchasing policy, and it's as amended. Is there any discussion? Adrian?
Yeah, I want to postpone voting on this until all of the changes have been made and we're able to approve the final copy.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. I'm asking to defer it.
Okay, is there a second? I'll second it, just get the discussion going. Okay, is there any discussion on the motion to defer? Okay. Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of deferring the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oppose? Aye. Nay. Okay, it's Dan, you said aye? Okay. 5-1, it will be deferred. Okay, item L3, please read that, Sharon.
Initiation of text amendment for Farmers Market.
Okay, before we go any further, I see Jennifer standing at the podium. Jennifer, you got the floor.
Thank you. This is a request for direction. Under our current zoning code, there are limited capacities to initiate a text amendment. One of them is going to council receiving direction from council to initiate the zoning code. There appears to be a possible need at this time. There's an existing farmer's market that's located on the school property, and the school property is about to undergo some redevelopment, so the farmer's market is looking for a new home. They approached our office to ask where they could locate, and we discovered within our code they really didn't have any good choices. So at their direction, we've been advised that they're looking at a church property, and should City Council wish to see some potential for that to happen, we would need to amend the zoning code. That would go through the process within the second paragraph for a schedule, which means should you direct us to initiate this tonight, we go to Community Council in March, go to the Planning Commission in April, return to you for a first reading in April and a second reading in May, should you so choose to do it in that order.
Any questions for Jennifer?
I've just got a comment. Definitely, we want to have a farmer's market here. This was a Wednesday or Saturday market, is it?
Wednesday
market. Personally, I'd like to see a Wednesday and a Saturday market in Dunwoody. I just returned from Naples, Florida, which is a pretty upscale area, and on Saturdays they have a farmer's market there. And it's in the middle of a nice section of Naples, and people look forward to it, and they really do support it. And I would personally like to see it so that we could have it someplace like one of those areas we talked about over Dunwoody Village next to the post office that it's not being used for anything, and it would be a perfect spot for something like this to be set up. I think it would be well supported by our community if it were in the center of town. I know that introduces the overlay district issues, but to me that's certainly a more desirable place for something like this. I think a lot more attention and a lot more visitors.
I just said,
I would like for you to pursue this. Because I agree we do need a farmer's market. I don't have a problem with the location. I know one of the locations that's being sought right now, and I think it's a great location.
I'm obviously very supportive. Mimic what Danny said, both of a Wednesday morning and also a Saturday morning. I think it's just a neat idea for folks to come to Dunwoody for locally grown fresh fruits and vegetables. I mean, I think that's pretty neat. I'm willing to leave it up to the. I mean, this would be owned and operated privately. There's no city funds. We're not a party to it. All we're going to let them do is get permission to do it. And I'd encourage them to do it in Dunwoody Village, but they got to make that choice. It's up to them. I would like the code to allow for them to do it, and so I would also encourage you to take that step.
I am also in favor of this motion. This was originally at the Spruill Market, Spruill House over there on Ashford Dunwoody, and again, they have to move. When I first heard that this farmer's market may be closing, I contacted the Dunwoody Homeowners Association, member of the business community, to try to find a location that would draw this type of business into other unused business spaces. And ideally, I guess the best location is not in Dunwoody Village. We've looked, they've been explored, it's been batted around the community in the sense of a number of business individuals. They've seem to have found a place directly across the street from Brook Run Park on a main thoroughfare. If the church wants this to be there, and it then goes through the zoning facilities and the zoning procedures and the neighbors and the community at large agrees with it, I think this is wonderful for the community. So I'm looking forward to having this go through the process, and if it gets approved by that process, then so be it.
My comment would be a couple of fold. Number one, we will require a public hearing, and the citizens in the local area. I personally see there's a problem putting it in the overlay district because I think you're opening up Pandora's box, if you will. Because if you let them come in the overlay district, I think I would have a good argument to bring something else in the overlay district. It may not be quite as nice. I think one of the other points you have to remember is that, we have grocery stores in the city of Dunwoody that are real good citizens. And it's been here for years, once a week, that's fine. I don't know, maybe twice a week would be okay, I don't know. But I think if we started to infringe upon our grocery stores that have been here and they're very good citizens, doing it too often, I don't know if that would be a thing we would want to do. But in general, I think having it somewhere other than Dunwoody Village, I would be in favor of that. And this doesn't put it anywhere. All it does is say to get a text amendment for the farmers market to initiate the discussion. Okay, is there any other discussion on this? Okay, I'll entertain a motion. I don't think we've got one yet, so let's put a motion on the floor.
I'll so move. Second.
Okay, so moved. Sorry, John, you're late this time.
That's okay.
Second. Councilman Wittenstein moved, and seconded by Councilwoman Bonser, that we have initiated a text amendment to our zoning to have the possibility of locating a farmer's market in Dunwoody. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay?
Thank you.
Ayes have it, 6-0. Thank you, gentlemen. Okay, the timelines of that are on this page here for everybody's discussion. Have those pictures of the city hall going around, why don't you pass those out to the citizens? Would somebody do that, John, like to take a look at some blank walls? And one window. Okay. Okay, we're down to item L4. We have discussed that, but we did not approve that. And I think that is something that we either have to defer or that they've asked for approval.
Mr. Mayor Pro Tem?
Okay,
I'd like to move that we defer this to the next meeting where we'll be voting on the budget that goes with this.
Okay, motion made by Councilman Wittenstein, seconded by Councilwoman Bonser. Discussion, we'd like to have the city manager speak on this, and maybe the finance manager still here.
Did you already vote on the supplemental?
No. We're asking for you to enlighten us.
I have no concern with y'all deferring it for tonight, but I would leave the date for the deferral open because some of the equipment that's needed to be purchased either through amendment or through a supplemental lease is critical to the building. We're running on some timelines where we have to get those purchases made, and they would be contingent upon the financing of them. So we just ask that you leave it open so that we could do a special call meeting if necessary to get the supplemental lease approved.
It is open at this time. There's no
okay, I thought we had that to the next meeting.
But whenever that may be.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the deferment of this to the next meeting? And we didn't say regular or any other thing. We just said next meeting. Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Passes 6-0, Chairman.